It was 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's rather cool outside. But it was a lovely day otherwise. Sun was rising, and I was walking down the road. And as I walked down the road, I could see people lying on the other side of the road, sleeping, wrapped up in their robes, sleeping. And the sun was coming up, and they weren't ready to get up yet. But I was walking down the road, and I was thinking to myself, what a beautiful day it is. What a glorious day it is. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. What a glorious day it is. The year before the turn of the time. Back in the days when the Master walked the pathways of Jerusalem and Israel, back when times were just as as busy as they are today, when life was just as hectic and frenetic as it is today. But every time seems like the first time when you're living it. And we're walking along this pathway, and it's early in the morning. And I'm on my way to work, and I'm going to go and work with a friend of mine who has a carpenter shop. And it's not too far away, and I'm heading along the road. And I look at the people sleeping along the side of the road, and I think to myself, I'm sure glad I got a home. I'm sure glad I have a place to live, that I don't have to live by the side of the road there. But there were many people living by the side of the road, and it was not an unfamiliar sight for me. They were not poor people. They were not rich people. They were just people who were sleeping by the side of the road. There were people who were walking the pathways of life. There were people who did not necessarily have a family that they could return to or go to. There are people who were, in their early 20s. And they were walking along, doing virtually nothing, as we would say, seemingly having a meaningless life. I arrived at the carpenter shop, and I found the carpenter, my friend, working there already early in the morning. He'd had his breakfast, and he'd sent his children out to do the things that they had to do. And his wife was busily functioning around the house, and he was in the carpenter shop. And I said, "Well, Joseph, how are you doing today?" He looked up at me, and he said, "Herb, it's good to see you. I've been thinking about you this morning." "Oh? What were you thinking about me?" "Huh?" "I was thinking about what could I have you do today that would be sort of challenging and fascinating and interesting to you." And I hadn't really come up with a proper solution, but I was thinking about it. And then I was thinking, well, something that might be very creative and very illuminating and very fun for Herb might be having him work on a bench. And so I have this bench idea for you to work on today. "Oh, great," I said. "What kind of a bench is it going to be?" "Well, I have this log over here, and it's a large log. It's about 2 feet high, almost a little over 2 feet high, 2.5 feet high, and it's about 6 feet long, and I would like you to make the simplest yet most beautiful bench that you could from this log." "Well, okay. Now, what tools do I have to work with?" And Joseph took me over to the other side of his workshop. Now here's a tool that you draw through the wood, and you split the wood. And here's another one that you chisel into the wood. Here's a wooden mallet that you pound the chisel into place and do it. Let us do its job. Now, Herb, part of your training in becoming a carpenter is to be creative. It's to take whatever there is available and make it into something. Well, Joseph, that log is a very special log. I mean, we don't have any trees around here like that anymore. Where'd you get that log? Well, that log's been sitting in the back room of my house for quite a while. In fact, it was there when I got my house. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it was there, but it was there. And it's well aged. It won't crack or split or do anything improper when you work on it, because it is a well-conditioned log. And I said, well, Joseph, that's quite a challenge. Now, Joseph, do you have a design for me to follow? Do you have a design for me to follow in working on that log? I want to do the right thing. Now, what should I do when I work on that log? Herb, it's absolutely up to you. How do you want to create that log into a bench? Well, I look at Joseph and I think to myself, you really like to give me a tough one, don't you? And then I think to myself, all right, if he thinks I'm able to do this, I'm going to do it. If he thinks I can do it and I can create it, I'm going to do it. And so I sat down and thought for a while, and I visualized the log in many different ways, and I visualized taking a chisel and chiseling out seats in the log, so when people sat on it, they would be sitting in seats. And then I visualized getting the most use out of the log and slitting off the log so it would be smooth on top and people could sit there. And then if I could slip off that top piece, that little round area on the top there, and keep it from being damaged in any way, keep it smooth and beautiful. In fact, even planing it down and cleaning it down so that it's a nice smooth back, it'd make a good back for the bench. Oh my goodness sakes. But how am I going to take that bench and have that back be held up? I don't have any technique for doing that. And so then I went to Joseph and I said, Joseph, what do you think? And Joseph says, Herb, when you come to the conclusion in your own mind, you will be able to do it perfectly and beautifully, and you'll be able to do it, and you will not doubt in the slightest your talent in doing it. I went away from Joseph more confused than when I went to him. And I said, okay, log, you are a living entity, even though you're age so old. And you, as a living entity, know what I want to do with you. I want to take you and make you into a beautiful bench. And the only way I can take you and make you into a beautiful bench is to use all of your parts itself to make the bench. So I sat down and put my hands on the log. And I said, okay, log, talk to me. Tell me what you think I should do. And I sat there for quite a time. It was maybe an hour or more. And I sat there patiently, knowing that I can communicate with all life. I can communicate with the log, and the log can talk to me. And then little by little, I began feeling warm and happy about myself and the log. I felt I had somehow a communication, even though I couldn't interpret it just yet. And I sat there again another hour, and I listened. I listened patiently. I listened with all my heart. And then, as though an inner wisdom popped out and said, "Okay, slit off the top part of the bench," because you do want it to be a bench, slit off the top part and use that as the back, as you had originally thought. Now, there are some other sticks around, and you can use those sticks as the back to hold up the bench. You cut down into the log itself, and you make a holding for the sticks, and then you cut into the back of the circle part and have the bench back be held up by the logs. And you use wood to hold it in place, and you cut the log in such a way that it makes a inverted V formation on the back of the bench and on the back of the bottom of the bench. And the inverted V receives the log that you have prepared so that it holds it perfectly in place, more strongly, more beautifully than anything else could do it. And you have it so that it'll be firmly, tightly in place, right where you want it, not too low, not too high, just the perfect place. Well, those thoughts went through my mind, and I visualized it. And then I said, "Well, now, are there things that I should do in an order so that I am doing these all in the proper way?" And the thought came to me, "Well, of course, you first start out with a foundation." And so I started out with the foundation. And Joseph peeked in through the door and watched me as I was working. He thought I didn't know he was there, but I knew he was there. His charisma is so beautiful, he couldn't hide from me. And so I rolled the log over from my perspective, and on the bottom I cut two notches, as I did for the back bench, and I slipped two logs into those notches so that the bench would have something to keep it from rolling over. And after I'd cut those two notches, perfectly doing it, then I went up on top and I cut the slit off the bench. I cut the back off the bench. And as I worked on it, I worked on it very smoothly and cleanly, and they came apart. It was a long task. It took me quite a little while because my tools were not too efficient, but they were good. And I was able to make that bench in a week's time. And when I finished that bench, I not only had made the bench as a comfortable seat, smooth and flat and beautiful, I made the back of the bench a comfortable seat, smooth and flat and beautiful. I did not try to change the original log that was around the bench. I allowed it to be in its natural quality. And I put the legs under the bench, more feet, sort of a balancing log under each end of the bench, and the bench was firm and solid. Many times I sat on the bench to check out that it was firm and solid, and I rocked back and forth to see if I could disturb the legs, and I didn't disturb them in any way. The footing was sound and firm. I leaned back against the bench, and I jumped back against the bench. I pushed back against the bench. I tried to push the bench over. I tried to push the back down, and it was solid and firm. And I looked at the bench and I said, "Bench, I love you. You really cooperated with me to allow me to make you into a wonderful bench, a useful thing. You're sure heavy, though." And the bench says, That's all right. And I went to call Joseph. And I said, Joseph, my bench is done. And Joseph looked up from his work. And I couldn't help but look down at the thing he was working at. And he was working at a miniature bench, just like the one I made. And he made the miniature bench just like the one that I made. And when he made the miniature bench just like the one I made, he had taken his cutter and he had gone around the outside of the bench and made it into a beautiful work of art. It wasn't the natural log anymore. It was now a beautiful work of art. He had taken his chisels and he had taken his equipment and he made it into a design that was lovely to see. He didn't say anything to me, but he looked up and he said, well, Herb, how are you doing? And I looked at him and I said, Joseph, you put me to shame. Why is that, Herb? Why do I put you to shame? Well, Joseph, you have not only made a bench just like I made, but you made a masterpiece. You made a beautiful work of art. You made something that is going to be a delight to the eyes, not just a bench that's going to be a bench that people can sit on, but this is going to be something that people can look at and see the beauty of it. People can sit on it mentally and see the beauty of it. Oh, true, it's a miniature bench. True, it's just maybe a tenth scale replica of what I did, but it's glorious. Now, Joseph didn't say anything again. He just continued working, continued shaving away on his little bench. And I realized that there was nothing to be said. So I went home that day after having done what I thought was a masterpiece of work. And I laid in my bed and I had a dream. And I dreamed that my bench was as beautiful as the bench that Joseph had made. And then the dream said to me, no, your bench is not to be as beautiful as the bench that Joseph has made. Your bench is to be as beautiful as the bench that Herb made is. Your bench is to be absolutely 100% a replica of your thinking, of your ideas, of your dream, of your vision. And with that, I fell sound asleep. And when I woke in the morning, I awoke a little earlier than usual, and I hurried along the road to Joseph's house. And I went into the back room where I was working on my game, and I took out the tools. And first, I blessed the tools. I said, you are divinely guided to do beautiful, wonderful things. Now, inspire me with all the wisdom that is within me. Let all the wisdom that's within me, all the beauty, all the magic, all the ideal that's in me come out. And let me reveal itself in the beauty of this bench. And silently, I went to work. I worked quietly, unobtrusively, but I began to whittle away on my big, big bench. On my big, big bench. First, I worked on the back of the bench. And I thought, let's practice here and see what I can come up with. And I made a fresco of a beautiful scene. I made a beautiful wooded scene as though you looked at a landscape. And on the back of the bench, it just sort of came alive. It was as though a beautiful light was shining on the bench as I worked there. And my chisel and my equipment work so beautifully and so functionally. And after a while, Joseph came in and he says, "Well, Herb, I see you're hard at work at something. What are you up to?" I said, "Well, Joseph, I would appreciate it if you don't peek for a period of time and just let me see what I can come up with here." "No problem, Herb. You go right ahead." And so, for the next week, Joseph didn't peek. It must have been tough for him, because I know it would have been for me if somebody were working in my shop and I couldn't peek and see what they were doing. But he didn't peek. And I worked on that bench. I had made the back into a beautiful fresco that was lovely to see, beautiful with the design. And then all over the bench, I realized that I had the talent to make these wonderful designs. I made the designs all over the bench, around the logs that were its foundation, around the logs that were holding up the back. On the bench itself, the seat of the bench, I made into a super, super, super smooth surface. It was almost level as could be, just beautiful, super, smoothed down, just artistically smoothed down. And then as the log turned around the edges of the bench, the beautiful designs came to life. Scenes of people walking along, animals and people and dogs and people. And on the end of the bench, where the log had been cut off at some distant past, there it was easy to have the fresco bounce right out and jump right out and become a beautiful face. And on one side of the bench, I put the face of man, a generic man. And on the other side of the bench, I put the face of a beautiful woman. And I looked at the work I had finished, and I thought, how lovely this is. But I had four more ends. These were the ends of the foundation logs underneath the bench that held it firm and straight. And on each end of each log, on the left and on the right, I put faces of children, four children. And they smiled out at the world and looked out at the world with incredulity, with the belief, "Hey, what's going on here? This is a wonderful world," with innocence and love. Finally, I showed Joseph what I had done. And he looked at it and he said, "Within each one of us is a genius, a master, a divine beingness. And if we could only let it out, how beautiful that would be." And it wasn't too many months later that Joseph had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend became pregnant, and Joseph had not been with her. And the girlfriend said, "It was God, it was the Lord." And Joseph said, "I believe you." And Joseph stood by her. And Mary was the first one to sit on that beautiful bench that I had made. And she sat there and she held Joseph's hands while she told him the story of the time that she was with God. And that bench became all the more beautiful because of Joseph and Mary. And it became all the more beautiful as time went on. We never know what adventures we're going to get involved in life. But if at all times we listen within and give our best, the magic that happens to us is beyond belief. The magic that happens to us and the privilege that we have of being at the right place at the right time doing the right thing is unimaginable. So this day, join with me on my wonderful journeys into the time and life of myself, wherever I may be, and yourself, wherever you may be. And realize that when you have a vision in your heart and your mind, that vision could very well be true. And so I live my life acting as though all the visions in my life, all the imagination that I have, is true. And I live a very happy life indeed. My friends, know that I love you. I love you. I love you.